Ready.
It's not Sabbath yet because the sun hasn't set, but happy early Sabbath. It's such a pleasure to be with you guys again today. So my name is Maureen. I am from Kenya originally, spent most of my life in Dublin, moved to Northern Ireland when I got married to a Northern Irish man, and then moved to America. So I've actually lived in America longer than I lived in Northern Ireland. But it's just been an interesting journey back to Europe, back to Northern Ireland, and just seeing how God is working even when it seems like he is not working. So even when we don't see God working, he's always moving. He has seen the end from the beginning, and he is just such a good God, a mighty God, a patient God, and everything that he allows to happen to us has a purpose. It's not just happening for the sake of happening, and he will use it for your good. So he might not have brought it. I don't believe that God brings COVID or all these other things, but he will make something beautiful out of you and me if we allow him to in those situations. So on Wednesday, we talked about dying to self, and I mentioned that that is like one of my favorite topics to talk about because I had never heard about the idea of dying to self until I was maybe in my early 20s, coming up to my mid-20s. I'm 31, well, going to be 32 in June. But it was just like, I was a Christian and I was one of these people that I like to do and I like to just be involved. So I gave and gave and gave. And then I got to a point where I thought, if this is what church is, if this is what Christianity is, I want nothing to do with it because I had done everything I thought possible to do, and I still felt not satisfied. And then Pastor Gavin Anthony came to Dublin to work, and he started talking about dying to self and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh, that, what's that? I had never heard of it. And now, many years later, here I am, and I feel like that's the message that God puts on my heart every time I go to speak somewhere. For the first time, those are the two things that God always leads me to speak about so that I can lay the foundation for everything else. So on Wednesday, we saw that we need to die to self because self leads us to become entitled. We become like the big brother in the prodigal son story where we feel like God owes us something. So we feel like because we're Christians, we should never be sick. We should never have to experience any sort of suffering. We should never, you know, that God owes us something. He has to do something so that because we're such good Christians. Another reason why we need to die to self is because self leads to self-pity, which we saw it was satanic, because when we feel sorry for ourselves, we don't allow God we don't trust God, first of all, and then we're not able to see our purpose, we're not able to see who we really are according to the Bible and according to God, and that is that we are loved, we are worthy, we are adopted into the family of God, and God has so much for us to do, and to be, especially in these last days, we are God's chosen people for a world that does not know him, a world that is dying, a world that is hopeless. Another reason we need to die to self is because self leads us to disobedience, which and blinds us to it. So we can be living in sin, calling ourselves Christians, and not think that there's anything wrong with that. Another reason we need to die to self is because when we are full of ourselves, full of pride, we don't hear the voice of God. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said. But if we are living for ourselves and if self is king in our lives, we're not able to hear God properly, or it takes us too long to hear God whenever he speaks. But thank God that he never gives up on us. And then what I really want to dwell on today is this idea of, if we're full of ourselves, if we're not dead to ourselves, we cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that is because God is a gentleman, he gives us a choice. We were created as free agents. And this is why sin exists, because we're free to choose whether to obey God or whether not to obey God. But God can only dwell where he is invited, where he is asked to come and dwell. So our key text for us today is found in the book of Luke, chapter 24. And I'll start at verse 48. And it says, "You are my witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then he ascended into heaven. So that was verse 48 and 49. I don't know how many times you've ever read that scripture, but I had often read that scripture and the similar scripture in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus is being caught up and he's about to go up to heaven. And he says to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." I don't know about you, but I have on several occasions gone to a place inappropriately dressed. I remember one occasion I was early 20s, maybe. Sometimes my life is a blur. I don't know about you. You just get to a point where you're like, I don't even know when this happened. But I remember I was invited to go to a Valentine's Day gala. I was single, so it was for singles. And so I got dressed up and I had this white dress that I had bought for my graduation, but I didn't get to go to my graduation because my graduation was on Sabbath. And so I had this dress, had never worn it before, so I decided to wear this dress. Here I was thinking I was looking all kinds of cute, and then I get there and everybody's wearing red with a dash of black. And here I am looking like a bride, because it was a long flowing white dress and people were looking at me and whispering and all sorts of things. So it's funny, because a few months ago when I came across this verse again, and God really drove the point home, in Luke 24 verse 49, he says, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And the power from on high, we get the connection in Acts chapter 1, is the Holy Spirit. How many times do we leave our homes every single morning? Well, not on lockdown, but you know, whenever we leave, and we are not clothed appropriately with the Holy Spirit. I've done it many times in the name, and I've gone even to church, and I've gone and preached, and I've gone and sang, and I've gone and done many things for God in the name of God without being clothed with power from on high. And this, the Greek word here, sorry, I get so emotional when I talk about this, because the Greek word here is driving home this idea of kind of a perfect outfit that fits you perfectly. It doesn't matter what size you are. Like me, you have love handles and muffin tops and whatever. It fits you perfectly. And that is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you know, you're witnesses to these things. You have seen me heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the good news of the kingdom of God. You've seen me do all of that. On top of that, you've seen me die. You've seen me rise again. And now I am talking to you. You can see the holes on my side and on my arms and on my feet. and you're witnesses to these things, I want you to go and tell everyone. But before you go and tell everyone, I want you to be clothed with power from on high. And then in Acts chapter 1, which is interesting because Luke wrote both the book of Luke and the book of Acts, but he differs slightly, and he has this extra point to say that John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I just love that. And when you think about baptism and clothing, you think they're two different things, but both times you are being clothed, you're being immersed in something. So Jesus uses two different words, but he is pointing to the same idea of something that is completely covering you. You're being clothed because this good news of Jesus is not something that you can tell by yourself. It is impossible for you to really tell the good news of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said in the book of John that the Holy Spirit testifies of him. He says that time and time again. And he says that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all the things that I have taught you. And then he says the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. He will tell you of judgment. He will tell you of all these things. So why is it that Christianity and Christians, and forgive me, Adventists and Adventism continues to do things in our own power? How many times have we done an evangelistic campaign without the power of God? And we wonder why people are not coming to church. And we love to say, I know it's true here in Ireland, where we like to say, well, Irish people don't want to know God anymore. People say that. Christians say that. But it was never our job to convict people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people. So the reason why people are not being convicted by our message is because we are doing it in our own power, in our own effort, according to the Amazing Facts way or the It Is Written way, without the Holy Spirit. I have no problem with us preaching. I have no problem with us doing evangelistic campaigns. Do it, do it, do it. But do it clothed with power from on high. And when I look at the book of Acts, it's one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. And you see how the Holy Spirit comes down on them. I'm in Acts chapter 2 now, if anybody's following. He comes down on them because they're up in this room, all 120 of them, men and women. And I just want to pause there and say that the Holy Spirit is not a respecter of gender, race, and age. He falls on anyone and everyone. So he comes on them. There are 120 of them. They're sitting in the upper room. They're not sitting idly. They're praying. They're breaking bread. They are talking about Jesus. They're worshiping. They're just so excited. And he falls on them. And when he falls on them, they cannot contain themselves. They cannot contain themselves. They leave the upper room and they go outside and they start speaking in all these different languages. And they're not speaking idle words. They're speaking about Jesus the Christ. And every single person that is around in that place hears God speaking to them in their own language. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he will give us different methods to reach the people that we're meeting. We think that there's only one way of doing things, the Adventist way. But God is trying to tell us, no, there's one message, but I have many ways that you can reach a young black woman. There are many ways that you can reach young black men, young white men, young Asian men, because we all come from different backgrounds and God speaks our language. He speaks our actual languages, but he also speaks our understanding and the ways that we can connect. So they're standing there and they're prophesying and they're speaking, and some people are amazed, but other people say, no, they've had too much wine to drink. And then Peter, the man who denied Jesus three times not too long before this, stands up boldly, full of power of the Holy Spirit, and he speaks. He speaks and he remembers the whole entire Old Testament. And he takes them on a journey, and he says, this is not drunkenness. This is not me being too drunk. It's only 9 a.m. This is me and my brothers and sisters being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what Joel talked about. And he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he just goes on to speak to them, and 3,000 people are baptized in one day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And it's not the first, and this is the first time, but not the last time that this happens. And they speak in the next chapter, Peter, heals a man, a lame beggar who is begging, and then 5,000 are added to their number. And so many people are becoming converted that the priests and the Pharisees have a problem with this. And then the persecution begins later on in the book of Acts, and then the gospel is taken everywhere. And can I just say that if we're really living truly to what God is calling us to do, persecution will come. And when it comes, God will use that persecution for the furtherance of his gospel. He will take that message even further. But I believe that what has happened to us is the devil knows that if he brings persecution, the church grows. Anywhere the church is persecuted, it grows. But when he makes us comfortable and takes away the power of our religion, then the church does not grow, it does not thrive. And he loves that. You see, the Pharisees had become so comfortable with their religion. And in Matthew 16, Jesus has this encounter with the Pharisees, and he says to the disciples, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And they don't quite understand what he's talking about. And then a few verses later, he says to them, who do people say that I am? And they say, oh, some say you're John the Baptist, come back alive. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're this. Some say you're that. And then he looks at them and he says, but you, who do you say that I am? And Peter, the know-it-all of the group, says, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't think Peter quite even understood what he was saying, the depth of what he was saying, but he speaks this bold statement, and it is so powerful. And Jesus said, yes, you're right, and on this rock, this revelation that I am the Messiah, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot overpower it. You see, Jesus was trying to tell them that the Pharisees and the church of the Pharisees had no power because they were not dead to themselves. He calls them whitewashed tombs. They look perfect on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of self, they're full of malice, they're full of hypocrisy, they're full of anger, they're just full of everything that self brings. So he says to them, that religion has no power, but I'm doing something new. I'm making something new. On this revelation that I am the Messiah, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. He tells them that on this rock, he's going to build his church because he's intentional about the church. He has not abandoned the church. I don't know about you today, and I don't know how you feel about the church, but God has not abandoned his church. Even though we are functioning out of no power, God still has his people in this movement where he wants to revive it, and he wants to build something on the cornerstone that the builders rejected. And on that, and when he builds that church, his true church, the gates of hell cannot overpower it. Because you see, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that is made available for you and me. We as Adventists love to talk about the latter rain. I don't know about you, but I've heard about the latter rain like a million times, and I never quite understood it. So I embarked on a journey while I was studying about the Holy Spirit and the spirit of prophecy, and the pioneers where they got the basis for the latter rain is in Joel. So before Joel talks about how God says that he will pour out his spirit, before that, a few verses before that, I believe it's verse 23 of Joel chapter 2, he says, I will bring the early rain and the latter rain. And so we've come to understand as Adventists that the early rain was Pentecost. And the early rain, the reason for these two rains is in the Middle East, for crops to grow, when you plant a seed, you're praying that rain will come so that a plant and that seed grows. And remember, we talked about dying to self and how that's like a seed going underground. So when we're saved, when we come to the knowledge of Jesus, he sends rain, he sends the Holy Spirit. And Paul says that we are sealed. The day we came to accept Christ, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. This rain poured out on us. But the early rain in the grand scheme of the gospel is the Pentecost, where he fell down on his church. And that was the beginning of the growth of the church. And we've come to understand that coming to the close of time, before probation closes, God is going to send rain. He's going to send an extra portion of the Holy Spirit to fall down on his church. And can I just say, it's not just the Adventist church. The Holy Spirit will fall on his true church. These are people from every denomination who are looking for him, who are searching for him, and who are dying to themselves, regardless of what their doctrinal understanding is, because he is bringing everybody to a saving knowledge of himself. So he's going to pour that Holy Spirit. But the spirit of prophecy through Sister White says that the people who will receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit are the people who receive the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. The people who are going to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit are the people who are receiving the daily baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you receiving the daily portion of the Holy Spirit in your life every single day? Are you dying to yourself and asking God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit? The baptism of water is not enough. We have this idea in Adventism that a person has arrived when they get baptized with water. No, that is the beginning. And remember in the book of Acts, when there were these people who were baptized in water, the baptism of John, but had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many Christians and how many Adventists have been baptized with water and not with the Holy Spirit. Sister White goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is still promised to us today. And the reason we don't receive him is because we do not ask about him. We do not pray about him. We do not preach about him. And she says that where the Holy Spirit is not talked about, he does not dwell. If we do not long for him, remember I said that God is a gentleman. He never forces himself on us. So if we don't want him, he's not going to force himself on us. Therefore, he allows us to do church. He allows us to do Bible studies. He allows us to do potlucks and fellowships and whatever. But we have no power. And our religion has become so powerless that we argue about meaningless things that are not furthering, that are not growing the kingdom of God. And the enemy loves that. Because if we're not powerful, then he's happy because people are not getting to know God and people are sitting in their churches and not growing. I don't know about you today, but I long for a daily baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I love what the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. And he tells us of judgment, and he reveals the truth of Christ to us. He does so many things, and maybe we should just read a tiny bit before I come to the end in John. How did I end up in Corinthians? John chapter 14 and verse 15. And he says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So this was before Jesus had gone back to heaven and had resurrected and gone to heaven. So the Holy Spirit was not in them in the same amount. But as soon as Jesus was inaugurated, as soon as he got to heaven and his sacrifice was accepted, the Holy Spirit came down and he was in the disciples. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father and you are in me. And I cannot find the verse that I'm looking for. Or it's here in verse 15. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he must testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And I have told you all of this so that you will not fall away. And I just love that Jesus did not leave us on our own. The third person of the Spirit is with us. And when we come to accept him and allow him to baptize us, he takes away our desires and he turns them into the desires of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the song, the Mary song, where she says, be born in me. Jesus Christ wants to be born in us all. And the same way that he was conceived in Mary physically, he wants to be conceived in us spiritually. He longs to dwell in his people. He longs to dwell in you and me. The Holy Spirit longs to make his home inside of you. And when he comes in, he changes our desires. He changes the way we look at the gospel. But most importantly, he changes how we look at people. That young person that wears that really short skirt will not frustrate you the same way, because you will see, when you look at them, you will see a child that longs, that needs love, that desires love. And you will give them that love, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. So when he comes and baptizes us, he changes us. I don't know if you're satisfied with your religion. I don't know if you're satisfied with your spiritual walk. I know I'm not. Because I have been promised that from glory to glory to glory is how much God wants to grow inside of me. That sanctification is the work of a lifetime. He wants to come and change my desires. If you're struggling with a secret sin, and I can testify to this, before I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, I struggled with a secret sin and I could not shake it off. And I was good. I would be good for a few months and then I would fall again and I would struggle. And but when I accepted Jesus and I accepted the baptism and I chose to die daily, he changed my desires. And actually, there are things that I can't believe that I don't crave them anymore. And right now, just because I'm quite a vulnerable, transparent preacher, I struggle with food. And I struggle with food. I have no idea how my video disappeared. I struggle with food, and because I find comfort in food. So if I'm going through a difficult situation, my initial reaction is to eat and then pray. And so the lockdown, the first few weeks of lockdown was such a struggle. And then I woke up one day and I was like, no, God, I need you to change my desires. I need you to change the things that I trust. And food is such a quick fix. It's such an easy fix because it's just there. You know, it's just there and it makes you feel good, even if for just 5 minutes. And God, in the last 2-3 weeks, God has really been working on me and it's changing my desires. And now when this week when my stepdad was taken to ICU, I did not run for food. I ran to God. I ran to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage you that he will change your desires. I'm still on a journey. I'm still not the weight or the BMI that I need to be, but God is working on me. And even with the little stupid things that we think are stupid, the Holy Spirit wants to be invited into those situations. And I want to remind you today that Romans 8 says that when we're praying, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But he can only do that if he's living inside of us. So if he's living inside of us, he knows what's going on inside of us. So when we have no words to speak, he speaks on our behalf because he knows what's going on. He knows the deep desires, the deep pain, whatever we're going through, and he intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So my invitation to you today is just to die so that you can live. And it's the most beautiful thing that you will ever do for yourself. And it's not a once-off thing. It's an everyday thing. Remember, if you're an Adventist, you're looking forward to that latter rain just before the coming back of Christ. But you can only receive that rain if you're receiving him on a daily basis. We receive the Holy Spirit every single day. So when he is being poured out, like at Pentecost, we will receive him because we will be ready. We'll be a fertile ground for the Holy Spirit. Just before we go into a discussion, let me just pray with you a little bit. I thank you, God, because you're a good father. You're a good father. And we're loved by you. And I love that you said, Jesus said before he went back to heaven that he's not leaving us as orphans. Because he left us with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is a person in himself. Yes, we do not see him. He does not have a physical body, but he is a person. He has the personality and the traits of God himself. And I thank you that you long to dwell in us. So right now over Zoom, I ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that my sisters and my brothers will receive you like they've never done before. Lord, there are many things that stop us from inviting you into our lives, secret sins, past trauma and pain from childhood and divorce, just anger and hatred at the world. Just so many things that stop us from receiving you. But God, right now at this moment, we lay all those things at the feet of Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we just ask for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you will clothe us, like you said in Luke 24, that we will be clothed with power from on high. And I pray that from this day forward, that we will never leave our beds, our bedrooms, our houses without being clothed with power from on high. And God, we are tired of our stagnant, stale religion. We want a religion that the kingdom of heaven, of darkness cannot overpower. Because you've given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven through the Holy Spirit. And you've told us that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So God, loose people here today. Set us free from the bondage of darkness, Lord. Set us free from generational issues that have been passed on from our parents to our grandparents, be it gossip and hatred, be it pornography, be it alcoholism, Lord, whatever it is that has been passed on to us and we have no control. control over it. God, we believe that the keys of the kingdom have been given to us and you're able to break every chain. So God, have your way and be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Welcome for those who have coming up. Hello, Winston, Lorraine. Hello. Hello, Howard. Hello, Donna. I'm recording. Hi, Sonia. So just to welcome those, again, who weren't here this evening or on Wednesday, our speakers, Pastor Maureen Hamblin from Northern Ireland. And on Wednesday, we spoke about dying to self. And we continue this evening about welcoming the Holy Spirit into us. So we just want to have a little bit of a discussion in regards to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And then we will do a sentence. Each of us will do a sentence to just welcome in the Sabbath. And as we think this evening about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, I know for myself that there are times when I'm pretty sure I can hear God's voice clearly saying, you know, do this or don't do this. And I will disobey, and you know you've done the wrong thing because it plagues you. You know, it plagues you, and you can tell a voice of reason whether it's different from your own. Isn't that so? You can tell when that voice is not your own telling you what to do. So if anyone would like to jump in here and just, if you are aware that the Holy Spirit speaks to you sometimes, and, you know, if there are things that the Holy Spirit are trying to convict you of that you are continuously trying to work on, so that we can, you know, have a better relationship with God.
I thought you can stop maybe just talking.
Yes, Peter. Okay, so hold on, let me just mute everyone and then I will unmute you, Peter, and then you go ahead. Thank you so much. Yep, go ahead, Peter.
So when I was listening to the message, it was really, I guess, touching. It had me thinking. And similar to the speaker, I remember when I first kind of heard of the term dad to self, I was probably in my mid-20s. Mm. And that encouraged me then to look at my life and kind of assess my life and understand what is it that is me that I need to die to. And I remember that I began that journey. And if I'm honest with myself, like now, for the last year or even 2 years, I've been stagnant in my spiritual growth. Mm. And I was listening to that and I was trying to think about my own spirituality and like what happened in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of the what she mentioned about secret sin. And it's just that when you fall into like a sin, you have to truly believe that the Lord can change you. And I think at the time when I fell into that secret sin, it's something that I knew better. And I was like, maybe I can't change. And I started to believe that I am what I am and there's no changing me. And then that's opposite of dying to self. But dying to self is realizing that you have to remove, for me, how I understand it, you have to remove who you are and allow the Lord's will to replace you. And what I liked about when she looked at Luke 24 was when Christ came to prepare them for the reception of the Holy Spirit, he first had to unfold the Old Testament really to them, to go through them from the beginning up to his time, so they can truly understand. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I think all of us have that kind of opinion of what we want. And this is the part about that itself, is that we all have an opinion of what we want. So when Christ came to the Jews, the Jews had an opinion of what they want Christ to do, who they want Christ to be, what Christ is going to do for Jerusalem. And that was evidence when it came to Peter. So even though Peter was walking and talking with Christ, he had this still kind of idea, okay, Christ won't be crucified, because he had this kind of opinion of what's supposed to happen. Hence why when they came to get Christ, he attacked. And then also when Christ told him that, you're going to deny me, he's like, no, I'm not. So he did all of this thing, and then he came to the realization that he didn't truly, truly understand the role of Christ. So when Christ now opened up all the scriptures of the Old Testament to them again, and he went back through it again, it then strengthened him more in the reception of basically receiving the Holy Spirit and truly dying to self. So what I kind of got from that is, one, you need to allow to let go and let the Lord have his will in you, but then also truly believe. And one thing I truly believe, so where I kind of fell was, when I fell into a mistake, I started to lose faith and thinking, maybe I can't change. And so you've got to truly believe in the word, and that it does have the power to change you. But if you don't accept it, that journey won't begin.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you. Sorry, and for those who come in, I didn't share the passage of focus for tonight. Was Luke 24, verses 48 and 49. And what you said was so poignant, Peter, when something happens, and we could, and this is the devil, convince us, no, we can't change. That's who you are. Do you know what I mean? Because that's where we stay stagnant, and we don't realize the power that is in us through Christ Jesus, because the devil convinces us, yes, Howard, the devil convinces us that we are sinful and we have to stay in that state. And it's not a good space to be in. Thank you so much for that, Peter. Howard, there we go.
All right. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I just want to, I came in late, but I got the bit that was saying that we have to die to self every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy thing. So mm-hmm. I will run to say that quite quickly. That dying to self is not an easy thing, because it's not just this morning and then this evening. It's this morning, next second. And you have to constantly keep touching base with God.
Yeah.
And I use the analogy of somebody driving a car. You don't just let go of the steering and just say the car will go. You have to always on that steering, controlling it, or mm-hmm. it's going to go where you don't want it to go.
Yeah.
And if you look at when Jesus was about to go, the disciples were all in a room. They're all afraid, thinking, the people are going to come and get us now. And when Jesus appeared to them, he said, listen, you first must believe, because if you don't believe, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But when Thomas wasn't there, and then when he came and heard, he said, no, I'm not agreeing with that. I'm not believing that. So Jesus again had to, although he was being told by people who trusted, he knew about, I know that they're my friend, they won't do me anything like that. He still says, no, I must see for myself. And sometimes we want to live on our mother's faith, as she says, we want to live on generational behavior. So I grew up wearing a tie to church, so if I take off a tie, it's a sin. I'm just using, that's just something to just kind of illustrate. And what we need to realize is that I can't live on what you teach me, Nicole, after you taught me, and I've learned it. Then I must go forward in saying, Holy Spirit, now show me how to use this bit. Show me how this bit affects my life. And I thank you for teaching me. But if I stay there all the time, I'm going to be where you left me. You go and come back, and I'm still where you left me. So it's about asking the Holy Spirit to take control, as the lady said earlier, daily. Mm-hmm. But I want to go closer and say, secondly, so that you can, because this lockdown, I don't know what it teaches a lot of people, but it has taught me to read my Bible even more. Because sometimes I sit here and I'm working from home, but then something flashes in my head and I've got to the Word. And, what I would normally just read quickly and move on.
Mm-hmm.
I take time to say, wonder what the context of this is. Why was this said? Why was that? So you say, this lockdown is for us to go back to the Word. It's for us to get rid of those busyness that we have been creating around ourselves to say we are doing things. And the self-importance, and say, Lord, you are important. You become the self-important. You make you, let me want to be with you. Let me want to share you. Let me want to live with you. You show me what to do. And as I close, it says, God will take you through it. But there's a willingness to allow him mm-hmm. to take part. Because he will not, as a lady say, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do what you don't want to do. So you have to be willing to say, Lord, come into my conscience. Come into my heart. Come into my mind. Take control. And even though I don't like what you're telling me, I'm going to have to, sometimes you tell people things and they don't like it. They kind of, they know it's true enough, but they don't like it. We mm-hmm. have to get to that point where we say, Lord, even though I know I don't like it, show me how to go. And as Peter said, when you drop into it, you have to believe that God can do something to get you out of it.
Yes.
Or else you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Thank you, Howard. Anyone else? Okay, Winston. Yep, go ahead, Winston.
Yeah, I was trying to remember a text while you guys were speaking. I found it. It's all about governance. Mm-hmm. And it's in Romans 8, the mind. If your mind, a mind that's governed by the flesh is death.
Yes.
And the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we say, we have these things that, like Paul said, he couldn't put down. We have these secret sins. No, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God.
Yes, right.
It doesn't submit to his law, and it's impossible. It can't do it.
Mm.
And if you're in the realm of the flesh, you cannot do self.
Yes.
So, when I think of dying, in this sense, in the way it's being said, I see it slightly different in that we have to die to the flesh. In other words, you deny the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feed it.
Mm.
You don't feed it. And even though it's the flesh, you still fight the flesh spiritually. Because you're not giving in to the flesh. So the flesh as in, you know, pride or you know, even feelings of pride come under the flesh.
Mm.
So this is what we're fighting. And so, but I think I heard earlier, and I didn't sit comfortable with it. I think I heard early in the week that God wants to kill us, but it was explained differently.
Yes.
And I saw that. And all week it hasn't sat with me. And I think it's because it's not that I don't think he wants to kill us, because as we heard, he's a gentleman. He gives us the option. He does, not that he wants to kill us. We will die if sin comes in the presence of holiness. So we have to do it to ourselves rather than him kill us, in which case we don't need to do anything because God's going to kill us and save us. But it has to come from our end. We have to deny ourselves. You see, even though we pray for God's help in doing so, we have to deny ourselves. So we have to basically kill ourselves, not God kill us. Starve ourselves. You know, in the analogy, I'm good for what we are.
Yeah.
Doing.
What I'm coming from is the fact that even us coming to a point of dying, it's through God. Do you know what I mean? His grace, his goodness leads us to repentance. So that, because nothing gets past God. So even me, like, and that's why I think sometimes we struggle so much with sin, because we're constantly trying to kill it ourselves, but we cannot do anything good ourselves. Mm-hmm. So for us to get to the point where we're like, I'm dead to myself, it's because God has initiated. It's called prevenient grace, am I right? The grace before we even receive the justification that Jesus has given us. It's this idea that God is always drawing us to himself. But I see where you're getting at. God is not a narcissist. He's not out there trying to, you know, do all sorts of things. And we are free agents. As I mentioned earlier, we have free will to submit to God. So I'm sorry if that was misunderstood.
It looks like I'll have to change the title, because I thought it was very catchy, but because I understood what you were saying.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know,
I will
change the title.
What was the title? Won't try to kill. But I mean, this is the thing is, with that, it's a provocative statement, because it's supposed to shock you into thinking, wait, what? But you need to understand that, yes, he is trying to kill the pride in us. He's trying to kill that sin in us. Not to kill us, hurt us, Winston. Please, go ahead. You wanted to? Hold on, let me just... There we go.
Well, I understood that, but we have to be careful how we present it. And why I say that is because
Do you listen to the sermon?
Hmm? No, I'm talking about Wednesday. I listened to the second half. I came in a bit late.
Okay.
It just reminds me of when we had, when was Pastor Odell at Stoke Newington? How many years ago was that? We had a lay preaching course, and the final was a sermon. And my sermon was very similar. So like you said, it's how you present it. Because I said to them, we live in a throwaway, in a disposable society. So,
1 minute, Howard.
If we want to get near God, we have to kill ourselves and be born again. And they didn't like the topic at all. And even though I explained it, I said, no, you can't go up in a pulpit and say, tell people to end their life. And we knew it. So sometimes it takes a while to explain what we're saying. But maybe that's why, because I heard the second half and I heard that God wants to kill us. And I thought, well, no, he wants to get the sin out of us, not kill us. You know.
Do you think, though, Winston, we are uncomfortable with that concept?
Yeah.
Because we don't like the fact that, listen, God is a good God, but he's also a just God. Yeah? And I think sometimes we don't like the idea that, you know, God loves in a tough way also. And I think sometimes we get very comfortable and, you know, and we think, yeah, God is merciful. He's also very just. He's also very, very just. When David disobeyed him and had a census, right? David went out in wars and God did that. Yeah, God did that. And David got really pompous and thought, well, I'm going to do a census and I'm going to count everyone I have. Do you know what God said to him? Not only am I going to hurt you, but I'm going to hurt everybody. And do you know what David had to recognize? No, 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 Lord, no, no, kill me. Don't touch anybody else. And that is what God is trying to dampen down in us, because we get pompous. We get all happy. And we think, yeah, it's us that's doing it. And he said, mm-mm. He's very merciful, but God is also very just. Howard, go on. Oh, sorry. Hold on.
All right.
Yes.
Is it clear?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
All right. The Bible tells us that God is jealous. And God is jealous over everything that belongs to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when God gave us two choices, he says, you can choose me and live. Other than that, I'm going to kill you. It might sound rough, but if you don't choose me, there's not going to be a next place where you can go and stay by yourself and do your thing. You know? No, that's done. You either choose me, or when the time is finally finished, I am going to destroy you. He sends, when he sends out Saul, he says, go up there, wipe out everything.
Mm.
Don't even take the children. Don't take the animals. Don't take the lovely ladies. Wipe out everything. Why him and Saul have issue? Saul disobeyed. Because Saul don't believe that Saul in himself thinks that he could do some things and God would be pleased. But God gives one order. The order is, go and destroy the Amalekites. Wipe them out off of the face of the earth. Saul did what he wanted. Today, in this spiritual time, God is saying, fall in line. Because if you don't fall in line, there's not going to be a time when you can negotiate it with me. I have already told you what is open to you, and I've given you a choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. If you don't serve me, you don't have another choice. And if we're going to look at it from that, if the topic is nice, and you know why I like the topic, Winston? I love the topic because that helps people to draw to each other. What do they mean? You put a topic, oh, we're going to read the Bible. Yeah, all right, next year. But you put a topic, God is going to kill you. You see how much, you know how much people is going to look into that and try to understand what I mean by God going to kill you. When the presenter presents it, then we realize what it is saying to us. Is if we don't surrender to Christ, what is going to happen? Tell me, anybody? He's going to kill you. At the end of judgment day, when that last day comes, nobody's going to be left who don't surrender to Christ. He's going to wipe them all out. And when that 1,000 years is finished, then he's going to totally wipe them out. So we need to remember that we are serving a God, as Nicole said, who is just, fear, and jealous. And he says, I'll give you all the time you want, you know. Run around with all the men you want or the women you want. It depends on which relationship, which sex you are. But when it's done, you're coming out of my house. You're not staying in here with me and do that. It's like a relationship. God is saying, you cannot marry to me and then want to do what you want to do. Either marry to me and stay with me, or you don't stay with me and I divorce you, full stop.
I definitely get it. I think because also of the scripture that we read on Wednesday, Exodus 4, where Moses is on the way to Egypt and God tries to take his life away. That's why I named the sermon. But I would like us to get back to the Holy Spirit, if you don't mind. You know, some of the questions that I thought about were, you know, who do you think the Holy Spirit is? And because I find that a lot of people don't have a good understanding of who he is. I was talking to someone recently who's been a Christian and an Adventist all their lives, and they thought that the Holy Spirit was a feeling, because anytime they've seen somebody in the spirit, it's been emotional. You know, so there are things like that. Another question was, you know, have you experienced the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, is there a time that you can think of, and what were the preceding things that led you to that point where you were aware that God was in you and with you? So maybe we could talk about that a bit before we, I don't know what time we're.
Sorry, I just realized I was mute. Sister Hyacinth, okay. You had your hand up?
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's all right. I think you've covered in terms of, you know, just what Winston had said about, you know, killing.
Okay.
But you know, Christ, the sin that he kills in us.
Okay.
It's a sin. Yeah, wherever sin dwells, it will die.
Okay.
Ultimately. And I did like the topic in terms of, you make you think, you know, it sounds like harsh, but you're going to think, well, what does that really mean? Has been said, and then you're going to look it up. But then when you listen to the whole thing, you get the context in which that is it's meant. But Christ ain't killing us, it's sin. Wherever the sin is, it's dying. It will die.
Thank you, Sister Hyacinth. So has anyone had a time where they have felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking directly to them? Who would want to share that with us? They have put that down to God, you know, directly telling them what to do or where to go. That was your question, right, Pastor Maureen?
Yes.
Okay, Winston, coming to you. That was, yep. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, Winston, yep, go ahead.
Gotcha. Right. It's not one I should really tell, but
oh my, hold on.
The Holy Spirit, remember,
as long as she knows, it's okay.
Now, I can remember one time, there's two times, but one time when I think it was the first time really where the Holy Spirit spoke to me clearly. And why I said I was keeping it to myself is because I didn't listen.
Yeah.
I didn't listen. And this was early in my Christian days, very early. And I was soaking everything up. And because of that, we used to witness all over the place. And we met a couple at our children's school. Now, I'm a grandparent now. So when my daughter was in primary school,
mm-hmm.
30 odd years ago, we met this couple. And, you know, we used to talk to them about the Lord and etc. And one day she came and she was concerned for her baby. And she said the baby was coughing a certain way. Now, in those days, those early, late 20s, immediately, she said she went to the doctor. Doctor sent them home. And immediately I said, it came to me and I wanted to say to her, tell the doctor to check her for whooping cough. And as soon as I, you know, it welled up in me, I said to myself, that's an old disease. People don't get that now. Because I've never heard of people getting whooping cough. That happens in faraway places, you know. I thought that's eliminated in Europe, because I've, you know, all the time in England, I've never heard of someone. So I didn't. I didn't tell them, because she said she's gone to the doctor. The doctor sent her away. She went to the hospital sent her away. And it was clear as day. Tell her to go to the hospital and specifically say, can you test my baby for whooping cough? And I didn't tell her. And 2 weeks later, you can guess what happened to that baby. And I've never forgotten it. And I sit back and I know it was the very first time the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I did not listen. And it's something I have to live with. And I couldn't tell the mum, obviously, after the fact. But since then, I tend to pay more attention. And I think in my early days, I wasn't completely tuned in. So I wasn't aware. I was just learning about various things and whatnot. But up until this day, I've never forgotten it. You know, 2 weeks later, and I always say, you know, it's something I have to live with. But that's the one of the main, that was the first time I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me. So, I'm not sure if I should have shared that or not.
No. That was a good testimony. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
We know the voice, don't we? We just don't always listen. And there are times when we know for certain that God was telling us do this, you know, or do that. Does anyone else would like to share? Let me just mute this one. Hold on a second. There we go. Yep.
Just recently. Yeah, okay. Oh, sorry.
Yes, ready. Yeah, it's on mute.
Okay. Is that me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, just recently, I work for a company and they keep going through different heads of different company keep buying them out. And the last time it happened, I said to myself, you know, I'm gonna leave this job. So I made my decision. I get up and I say, you know something, I'm not gonna go with uncertainty. I don't like uncertainties. I like to know what I'm doing. So I am gonna leave this job. And I sat at the desk in Leadenhall Road in central London, and I sat at the desk and it's like it's like somebody literally said to me, stop being stupid and stop being selfish. And I look at myself and I'm saying, wait. And I look around to see if my colleagues were talking to me, you know, if they were literally talking to me. And I said, wait, I could hear the voice like somebody just said it over my head, you know, behind me. So I looked around and I said, all right, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to do what I plan to do. So the next morning I got into the office and I said, you know something, I'm just going to do what I want to do. But and I said, Lord, you know that I need a job. Whichever way I do it, when I leave this one, I need one next one tomorrow. I don't want to wait on it. I don't have the time to wait on it. I need to pay my bills. And it's like in my spirit, he just said, why don't you just sit back and leave me to do what I'm doing? You know what the regional director and the CEO come in and say 5 minutes later? Or those of us who, where we're moving to is too small for all of us. I said, whoa, here we go now. I should have left before you tell me to go. And he said, you know what we'll do? Those of you who are like CQSs, you'll work from home. That's me. He tell me I can work from home. And he says, one day a week, you come into the offices for you, alternate the days among yourself. And that was, if I had gotten up and left the job, I don't know if I'd get another one so soon. And I might be a bit struggling. And it would cause a struggle on my family. But first, when I hear that the person talk to me, I look around because the voice was so audible. Like it was not in my head. It was actually somebody saying it. So I looked around to see who was there with me. Colleagues were there, but they weren't talking to me. And the next morning, I get up and I plan to go in to sit down with my boss. I'm going to say, Bumi, this is what I plan. The spirit just tell me, I can feel it. Why don't you just sit down? Just leave me to do what I have to do. And the CEO come in 5 minutes later to make that pronouncement. And I'm still there. And I'm happy to work from home. Only Monday I have to go in the office. All the other days I can work on the street or from home.
Wow.
So it's that.
God is so involved in our lives. Even when we don't listen, he is still trying to do things in our lives. And I love that. I love that. And nothing ever happens. I think, I'm not sure if it's Sister White that says it, but nothing gets to us before first going through the hand of God, the hand of provision, no matter how difficult it is. And it's tempting in difficult situations to want to make ourselves comfortable, you know, so to either leave a job or leave a marriage, or I've been tempted a few times, and you know, things like that. But God actually develops us in those difficult moments. I'm not saying that we should always stay, especially if there's abuse or, you know, things like that. But God, you know, we just have to listen and see what God is doing and see what God is doing. Yeah. It's 19 past 8. Nicole, and you're on mute.
So as we finish up tonight and we speak about the Holy Spirit, I just want to draw our attention to hymn number 258. And the first verse is, baptize us anew with power from on high, with love, oh, refresh us, dear Savior, draw nigh. And what a wonderful opportunity and a good time to start to welcome in the Holy Spirit as a time as when the Sabbath is upon us. Baptize us anew, Lord, as the Sabbath draws on us with your special blessing from on high, especially in these Sabbath hours, with your love, and refresh us as we spend time with you, our Savior. I just pray that he will draw nigh to us in these Sabbath hours. So we will just finish up with our sentence prayers, and then we will just finish up with let the words of our mouth. So I'm just starting with who is on my screen. So Peter, just a sentence prayer. I am giving God thanks for. I am giving God thanks for.
I'm giving God thanks for always being there, always helping me to keep, stay strong and walk in the path that he wants me to walk, and never giving up on me.
Amen. Thank you. I am giving thanks for Howard.
Just for life.
Amen.
I said it already.
Right.
I said for life. I'm giving God thanks for life.
Thank you. I am giving God thanks for Sonia. Winston, I am giving God thanks for
the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Donna, I am giving God thanks for
being a part of the family of God.
Amen. I am giving God thanks for Maureen.
I don't know. There's so many things. Grateful that my stepdad is doing well. Still on ventilator, but amen.
Amen. Sharon, I'm giving God thanks for.
I'm giving God thanks for loving me, for caring for me, and for blessing me.
Amen. Amen. I'm giving God thanks for Hyacinth.
For his continued grace, his continued blessings, for saving me, and keep giving me second chance.
Amen. And I am giving God thanks for the opportunity for us to share with each other like this. We have been having really lively discussions over the past couple of weeks, and I'm grateful for that, because it tells me that we are all reading and seeking and searching to find God. And I just pray that we continue to do that as a body and support and uplift each other. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in our sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Thank you all.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Hannah.
Thank you so much. So far, we didn't get your thank you prior. I am thankful for Nope, not hearing me.
Is that Winston's wife? Or
no, Sonia. Oh, Sonia, what your sentence prior? I am giving God thanks for.
Is she there?
Yeah, I'm back. For how much he loves me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And Lorraine, we didn't hear from Lorraine.
Yeah.
Oh, we did. Yes. Oh my gosh. No, do you know what, Lorraine? Because you are one flesh. Lorraine.
I'm giving God thanks for the time off.
Yes.
COVID.
Amen.
Can I just leave you with one verse? I feel God is telling me. So it's Ephesians 3, starting from verse 14, and he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
And that is Ephesians 6, verse 14.
Verse 14 to 21.
14 to 21. Ladies and gentlemen, have a blessed Sabbath. And I just want to thank the Pastor Maureen Hamblin again for just blessing us with these words. It's really great when we can kind of, you know, parse the word. We can really try and understand what it's saying. It's really great. So thank you all again. And we are back here by the grace of God next Wednesday, 7 p.m. sharp. I hope you can come back, Lorraine. Come back.
Yeah, welcome.
Yes. So have a great Sabbath. Donna, I'm going to stop recording this.